Brewers Podcast. Derek Kramer,
Frank Gregory.
And, well, we're usually here every Monday and Thursday, but I got called down to the arena on Thursday. So, we have to make up for lost time here, Frank.
Yeah.
As in Bills free agency.
Yeah.
As in the Sabres won a game.
Yeah.
As in the UB Bulls swept the MAC.
Yeah.
And with all the fever with Buffalo, why not get one of the more respected fans of the area and a man who does great things in the community? I'm talking about Mr. Del Reed himself, the founder of 26 Shirts, Bills Mafia, of all amongst many, many other things. Del joins us as podcast guest. He can write that in on his long list of accolades. So, Del, thanks for joining us today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Top of the list.
Oh, podcast. Top of the list. I'm honored.
Yes.
Leftovers podcast. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us. As always, Del, it's always a blast to be able to, run through everything in this crazy Buffalo sports world. I mean, hell, we had the last time the Sabres won a game. No, actually, it was the last time the Sabres scored a goal before the 4-2 loss earlier in the week. Antonio Brown was a Bill and then wasn't a Bill. And going back to that, it seemed like there was a lot of defending the city and everything like that. But it seems like, what was your take on that, Del? That whole Antonio Brown thing that had happened and kind of allowed Buffalo fans to kind of pick up their swords and defend the city a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of twofold, I guess. One part of me was, really, are we doing this again? I feel like every week we're arguing with somebody about how cool Buffalo is. And then every week I tell myself, like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, let the city stand on its own. We know it's awesome here. We choose to live here. And then the next week comes and I'm like, heck yes, Buffalo's awesome. Like, yelling with people on Twitter and stuff. So I just thought it was kind of dumb how it played out, to be honest with you. There was no real word in terms of what Antonio Brown's thoughts were, and so a lot of people were making assumptions that it was it had to do with the city, when in fact, WGR's own Jeremy White had a really good tweet about this subject at some point during the past week when he said, you know, the teams have done such a lousy job on the field or on the ice for so long now that the narrative often seems to think that overflows into the actual city and the region itself, which is kind of unfair and stupid. And a great point by Jeremy. So I think that's one, you know, because you never hear about, you know, people complaining about how lousy Green Bay or Wisconsin is, you know.
Yeah.
If there's any, you know, Green Bay residents listening right now, I apologize. But I'm guessing there's probably more to do in Buffalo than Green Bay, but you never hear about it. Because Green Bay wins football games, which is kind of a really weird association when you take a step back and think about it.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, Buffalo may have its weather problems, but we're not constantly in the negatives in January. I'll take that. Nothing against you, Green Bay, but I'll take what I have. Thank you very much. So, and then free agency comes along, and the Bills kind of get to work, and 9 free agents overall, if I'm not mistaken, or they added a 10th, actually.
Yes.
And Buffalo's kind of gotten a lot done here. The only defensive player that they signed was cornerback Kevin Johnson, who was released from a team, so he didn't have to do any of the legal tampering stuff. The Bills, with free agency and the legal tampering period, they got to work with getting offensive players and really kind of showed some of the naysayers, hey, we can go after offense if we focus on it, so why don't you shut your yap?
Yeah, you didn't hear from any of those free agents they brought in, you know, anything bad about the city. And what was really cool was that, you know, these offensive guys they brought in, like, what was the number one thing that they mentioned when they talked about coming to Buffalo?
It was Josh Allen. They kept mentioning Josh Allen.
Exactly. So, you know, maybe that narrative is changing. Maybe first and foremost with the team itself, and then maybe it'll reverse flow back into, oh, that region's pretty cool, actually. But now we just need Josh Allen to be good, like really good.
Yeah.
That's the easy part, right? Yeah, just be really good. Just be a really good franchise quarterback, dude. But it was interesting that, you know, I think almost every free agent mentioned Josh Allen, whether it was how they appreciated him reaching out after they signed, or even how he was the reason they were interested in signing to begin with.
Yeah, I remember Mitch Morse, the center that probably is the biggest ticket that they got when it comes to contract and price-wise. Morse was one of those players that said that Josh Allen was one of the reasons he came here because of the fact that he sees a quarterback that can help you contend for years. And like you said, the biggest thing now is, well, we just need Josh Allen to take that next step. And that might just kind of dictate alone where this staff goes from here, the general manager, the coach, the quarterback. If Allen unfortunately turns into a Blake Bortles situation, we're in a lot of trouble. And everyone's in a lot of trouble in their positions. But if Josh Allen does take that next step and is not Blake Bortles, please don't be Blake Bortles, then we might have something pretty promising on our hands here. So in the midst of what has been some miserable Sabres hockey, to see the Bills really kind of kill it in free agency, getting some big ticket items, having to throw money where they had to, but then also getting a couple of quality signings that were on the cheaper side of things, it was very refreshing to see that the Bills can help back it up when the Sabres aren't picking up the mantle.
Yeah, no doubt. I saw, this is going to be the entire conversation where I say, I saw a tweet that said, but it's so perfectly titled, so perfectly said, the way that the calendar year works is in Buffalo, people in February or March say, oh, at least we have the Bills. And then September, October, they say, at least we have the Sabres. And then you fast forward another 6 months. At least we have the Bills. So, yeah, they kind of pick up each other's slack. One of these days, maybe we'll have an embarrassment of riches, but wait, we got to wait on that.
That would be great. I'm not worried about it or anything. But anyway, Del Reed, founder of 26 Shirts, amongst many, many other things that he does for the community, is joining us here on the Leftovers podcast. Del, somehow, though, we don't have to rely on the Bills or the Sabres right now as we head into March Madness. We've got a pair of school teams that swept an entire conference in the basketball tournaments. And what have you been what's the buzz kind of been around UB around here? Like, I mean, seeing these teams, I mean, UB is a 30-win team. They're one of two in the NCAA tournament for the men. And then the women go ahead and just, as a 4 seed in their conference tournament, they take no problems, grab the MAC title themselves.
Yeah, not to be outdone, right?
Exactly, not to be outdone. And pretty much, like, the Bills had a pretty solid free agency, not to be outdone. The Bulls go ahead and sweep the MAC.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I'm not going to lie and try to come off to, anybody listening that I'm some big college basketball know-it-all or anything like that. But I live in Buffalo, and, I follow the local sports teams. And it's been really cool to see how this UB men's team has just all season long kind of backed up, with their expectations that they had before the season began. So it's really fun. It's something that, it's one more sports thing that kind of keeps us engaged, especially, as there's no real hockey playoff, watch to really keep tabs on. So it's one more thing that we're able to really get into. And I think it's great that, this season, the Alumni Arena has, set attendance records and stuff. And even, my daughter, who normally doesn't give a rip about basketball, she's like, next year, can we go to some of the ladies' games? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. So it's, it's kind of cool that these attractions are kind of, appearing for, sports fans in the Western New York area, young and old alike.
Yeah, and by the way, if your daughter meets Felicia Leggett-Jack, she will be ready to run through a brick wall. That's what that woman gets me ready to do. Anytime I hear that woman speak, I'm just like, I'm ready, coach. I'm not on your team, but I'm ready. That woman is intense, and I love it.
And yeah, we had the opportunity to go to a season preview a few years back, maybe 2014 or so. Maybe it was 15. I think it was 14. And it was just a season preview where, both the men's team and the women's team had a dunk contest, a little scrimmage and stuff. And it was great. You talked about that with Coach Jack, and I can see how that she was talking to the crowd during the whole scrimmage. Get those horns up, get those horns up. The whole crowd is into it. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, she's awesome. I do not, like you, I will admit, I do not know much with college basketball, let alone with women's college basketball. I'm not well versed in any of this, but anytime I hear Coach Jack speak, I'm just ready to go through a brick wall, because that's how that woman works. She can get her players going, and it doesn't matter what the odds are. I mean, they took on a really tough schedule this year too, and to see them win the MAC, it is a little rewarding for all of us that have been watching from afar at this point to see, hey, they took on a tough schedule, but in the end they got rewarded. So it's great to see, and we'll see what they end up with seeding as their selection Monday. It's today, and the men's team got a 6 seed, which a lot of people saw was a bit of a slight. So we'll see what happens there, but it'll be interesting to see if they face old Bulls coach Bobby Hurley in Arizona State.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about the tournament, is because with March Madness and everything, there's all these teams you've never heard of, you know, at least I've never heard of, or very, very little familiarity with. But then all of a sudden, all these storylines come out. And that's the one thing I've always enjoyed about, you know, the whole, you know, tournament in itself, is just the storylines, all the different little things that are going on. You always have, like, teams that come out of nowhere and show up for a week and a half, and everybody's on board with them because there's some underdog. And then you have also, you know, stories like this with Hurley where, you know, he was the coach, and now he's gone. And now, you know, in order for UB to, you know, kind of get over the next hump, they have to contend with this, you know, this thing from their past. It's fun.
It's awesome. And so, Dell, last thing that I've got for you here is what kind of projects do you have coming up the pipeline for you guys?
Well, I don't know when this podcast is going to post exactly, but it's pretty cool. We've actually been working on a shirt with UB for the past week or so, which is, you know, it's always fun when you can work with, like, the official entity or whatever. So we've actually been working with UB Athletics on a cool Bulls Madness design, and today's the last day to order that because we're trying to get it all taken care of for the tournament. But and then we've got some other stuff coming down the pike, some cool projects. We got some stuff on deck for Dingus Day, some neat promotions with that we've never done before. So, you know, everybody just, I guess, keep your eye on 26shirts.com and see what we have coming up.
All right, Dell, you got anything else that you want to comment on?
I just love the way that Brandon Bean has, you know, handled the whole free agency this past week. The way the way the organization has handled it, it's so exciting. And I just love how they've filled in a lot of needs. Like, the whole narrative last year was all this receiving core. And then even after, once some of the receivers actually started to do well and make names for themselves, at least locally here in Buffalo, the narrative was still the receiving core. So he addressed that, and that's awesome. And just the way that everything's kind of played out, and, you know, with the defense, with most of it coming back from last year, I'm really excited about the draft because they can really go in any direction.
Yeah, it's relaxing, kind of, right? That you can just sit there, pick 9, and whatever they do, you're cool with it?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be something like a cornerback or offensive lineman. Actually, I would have complained about offensive lineman, but it'll be something where you're like, oh, yeah, cool. But yeah, I trust Bean at this point. We'll see how it shakes out.
All right, Dell, thanks for taking the time, man.
Hey, thanks as always. I appreciate it, man.
All right, that's Dell Reed, the founder of 26 Shirts. And real quick, Dell, let the people know where they could find any of the tweeting that you will do.
At Dell Reed, D-E-L-R-E-I-D. And then check out that bio, and I've got a bunch of links to a bunch of different other things I'm working on Twitter there.
All right. Thanks again, Dell.
All right, take care, man.
All right. Always cool to hear from Dell, though. I mean, the guy does so much for the community, and you know, sometimes it's just cool to get another person's perspective on things. You know, like Dell is, you know, he's not necessarily media. He's not a reporter, but the emotion, you can get another side of the emotional side of things here. And that's why I like talking to Dell. He's a cool dude. Great dude. Does a lot for Buffalo. And, you know, when you have a chance to talk to an A-plus guy, you talk to an A-plus guy. That's what we do. Well, we try to. We don't know too many A-plus guys. Because we're Derek and Frank.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have at least one. There's more.
Yes. We got some peeps.
Some guys.
We got some peeps.
Yeah.
We got some peeps.
Just not each other.
Just not each other. No, no. So, all right. I got to talk about something very stupid that I did.
Can you?
Last week.
Please do. Please go on. I know what this is.
You are taking a little too much enjoyment into this real quick.
It's hilarious.
Oh, my God. First off, to the 207 people the 207 of you that at one point or another on a Friday night watched me eat an entire pie, which took 25 minutes, by the way.
Yeah.
First off, thank you. Second, what are you doing with your lives?
They wanted to watch a grown man eat an entire pie in what turned out to be 25 minutes.
I don't know why you guys are doing that. I appreciate that you watched, though. And, well, now this just provides something interesting for the future if I choose to do something stupid for raising funds for, like, the 11-day power play or something.
Yeah.
Because if 207 people decided to watch me eat a pie with no consequence, like I said, there's promising roots there.
Mm-hmm.
I looked back on Saturday afternoon. Over 1,000 times it has been watched.
Nice.
Why?
Nice.
It's me eating a pie and bitching about the Sabres.
Nice.
That's basically it. That's what happened.
Nice.
And I gotta say, in the aftermath, because I did not mention anything about it, not on air, not until now, that's top five one of the stupidest things I've ever done. I did not think it would be, but that was dumb. That was just not smart. I swear, that was probably one of the stupidest things ever. I cannot tell you how much regret I had Friday night into Saturday morning, which I had to be here at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Now,
oh, and I'm lucky that I picked the pie that I did. Lemon meringue pie kind of goes down easier. It's not as thick. It's not as crummy. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's just lemon stuff and a bunch of fluffy egg sugar on top.
So how are you feeling?
Now
you
fine. Oh, no. When I was done?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, like, I knew I wasn't a throw-up risk.
Yeah.
But I felt shameful. Almost dirty. Definitely degraded.
I ate an entire pie. It's one of those feelings. Yeah, it's one of those feelings like
you could guess how I felt.
Yeah.
Very bloated, very ashamed of myself, very pissed at the Sabres. Those are probably the top three emotions.
I'm mad I wasn't there for it.
Oh man, that was not a good time. And Howard Simon pointed out, he was tweeting at me, which meant he watched the video.
Yeah.
In real time.
Yeah.
Because his tweet said, he's only halfway home. He's looking like he's in a little bit of trouble here. I'm like, uh-oh. So I started laughing about the fact that Howard's watching this. And then I started laughing at the fact that there's a bunch of people that were watching this.
Yeah.
John Simon admitted that for a bit he watched it. He was like, yep, that's me. I was guilty. There were people that said, yeah, I watched it. And, you know, I don't have anything better to do with my Friday night, you know. So one of my followers cited, you know, she had a broken leg, so she's not really doing anything. So why not? Why not watch another man struggle to eat a pie?
Yeah.
So again, I commend all of you for doing that.
If I didn't have to work, I would have watched it too.
But I know.
I was working
Friday night. You were my initial plan for who was going to video it.
Yes, I know, because I wanted to.
But
I literally said, I want to film this.
But our friend and our captain for our 11-day power play team, Sam Rotella, took the time to go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Also, that Thursday night, I thought I was just going to be able to take care of it, two birds, one stone kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You guys, well, you didn't play actually either, but our team had a hockey game. He wanted to hang out afterward. I got out of the arena, and I thought, okay, you want to go out to eat? Fine. I will order an entire pie. That'll be my food. And then you can video me there. The waitress did not take me seriously when I said, what's up, Mark? When I said, I need to order an entire pie. She didn't take me seriously. She got me a slice.
Oh.
So we were initially planning on videoing it that night, but then I only got the slice of pie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow.
Okay.
I had to go buy an entire pie.
Yeah.
And I only bought the 7-inch pie, not the 9-inch pie. I just saw a whole lemon meringue pie. I'm like, all right, here we go.
So what you're saying is...
I couldn't handle another 2 inches, no.
That, and we should do this again.
No.
And now I'll do a 9-inch pie.
No, I will never do that again. You want to try, man? You want to try this misery? Go for it. I'm good. Now I need a reason to.
Yeah. You might have my reason now for me after getting donations all the way up for the 11A Power Play. We have yours and eating vegetables.
Sam mentioned something about making a bet about who could raise more money, and the loser would have to eat an entire pie.
And it shouldn't even just have to be an entire pie. Just have to eat, like, something. Like,
but I couldn't take him up on that because I know he's like $300 ahead of me right now.
Hmm.
You can't make that bet up like that.
Yeah.
Come on. It's a serious handicap. But there is something, though, to that. And yes, I've mentioned it before. I am not below doing something stupid when I hit $1,000 for the 11-day power play. So help us out. It's pinned on my Twitter page at DerekKramer49.
It's pinned on my Twitter page at Frank R. Curry.
And, get us some help. We could use it, And not just we. I mean, families that are dealing with cancer. I went to the captain's meeting, actually, a couple weeks back. And I got to meet a couple of these kids from Camp Good Days. We got an interesting lecture about treatments that they're working on from Roswell Park. And I met, families and, people from Make-A-Wish Foundation. So it was an interesting perspective to go ahead and be at that meeting and see what it's all about and see some of the roots of what we're raising money for. So, it was pretty good to take that in and get a little bit more information on that. So, if you don't know what you're donating to, that's what it is. It's for treatments for Roswell Park. It is for trying new breakthroughs there, getting the equipment that they need for new ways to try to take on cancer. And then there is the Make-A-Wish Foundation, helping kids get to take their minds off of the disease. And You see things like that all the time, like in the news or something like that, like the Sabres will do a player profile kind of thing. And, they're hanging out with yep. kids with yep. the Make-A-Wish Foundation and then Camp Good Days. It's for people that, are dealing with cancer, but it's also for the families that have lost people from cancer. They help those people out. They, just like Make-A-Wish, they help take your mind off of the constant crappiness that you have to deal with when you have someone who is dealing with cancer. So absolutely get that stuff. That's what we're playing for.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm glad to do it. And I am glad that I have to do it twice in 12 hours because that's nothing. I get to immediately put perspective on it and say that I'm playing hockey.
Yeah.
And the worst part of me playing twice in 12 hours is going to have to be putting on my gross equipment 12 hours after, not even 12 hours, less than 12 hours after I have just sweated for 3 hours. That's going to be gross, but I don't care. The perspective is still there.
Before.
That's going to be the worst part.
And we're doing that at 6 a.m.
Yeah, that's going to be the worst part. I'm going to be putting my gear on at 5 a.m. and I'm going to be like, there's still sweat on it. That's it. I get a new jersey, though. That's nice.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about two jerseys. I mean, putting on the same jersey, which would definitely be soaked from water because I'd be drinking a bunch of water. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, those are compared to who we're playing for, those are first world problems. Yeah, so. All right, Frank. It's March Madness time.
Yes.
And
this week, it all begins.
It all begins. The first round, which is that the play-in round.
Tomorrow it's gonna be interesting. And Wednesday.
Which the Bulls have some... they have something in this. They have some weight to this because one of the playing games is an 11 seed, Arizona State and St. John's. And therefore, Buffalo is going to be playing a team that will just have played. So I'd imagine that's not going to be too easy.
That would have just played and has to travel because the playing games are in Dayton.
They're in Dayton and they have to go west.
Yep, and then they got to go to Tulsa right after. The nice thing is for Arizona State and St. John's, whoever wins that game, they at least get that extra day off because they would play UB on Friday, whereas their game is either tomorrow or Wednesday. So you get at least one day off for travel.
Which would help them and, you know, help kind of create a little bit of a competitive advantage there. I'm a little surprised that the Bulls actually got a 6 seed. They've been ranked in the top 20 most of the year. The top 25 ever since they got in the second week of the season.
They've been ranked for 18 straight weeks.
Yes. Yeah. Ever since they beat West Virginia, they've been nationally ranked.
Yeah.
They didn't leave it no matter what.
Yeah.
How does that not make you one of the top 20 teams in the nation? I'm not sure.
Because reasons... committee is
taking at the time that they got this seed, they're the 18th ranked team in the nation.
Yeah.
That should land you at least a 5 seed by math alone. That should get you at least a 5. Because if you end up in the 5 seed, then that means, well, you're one of the top 20 teams in the nation. Instead, they think you're like 21 to 24. Despite your national ranking of 18. Math is hard, I guess. But anyway, Frank, the brackets are out. Things are going to be interesting. It's a little unfortunate that... St. Bonaventure couldn't make it back to the dance either. They lose in a very hurtful fashion.
But you know what? They had a heck of a run.
Yeah, they made it a heck of a run in the A-10. And, you know, I don't blame them for trying to go for the win. One of their better players in Courtney Stockard fouled out. You're down. You decide to go for a 3 instead of driving for 2 and playing for overtime. I respect it.
Yeah.
And it's just it's unfortunate, it hurts, but, well, what are you going to do? Would have been nice for them to get one of those. By the way, the 5 seeds, I'm looking at all of them. Auburn, Wisconsin, Marquette, and Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I get Marquette. They beat UB.
But even then, they were not that good down the stretch.
Yes, but I can at least see where the merit is because – Marquette, like UB, has been ranked most of the year.
Yeah.
And they beat UB. Therefore, I don't blame them for this one. But, I mean, I'm not going to get super salty about something that I don't truly know about. But what I do know is that UB has been very solid all year. So, Frank... the true madness starts on March 21st.
Thursday. I can't wait.
And which means on Thursday, Frank, we're going to come in early.
Do a little predictions.
We're going to pick our brackets.
Let's do it. Can't wait.
That is Thursday.
Can't wait.
Does that mean I'm punting on the baseball preview again? Yes.
That's okay.
This is more time relevant.
Yes.
But there is some, like, I kind of want to dive more into the Bills with the free agency and what they'll end up doing now in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bills signed at this point now 10 free agents. Only one is defense. They've gone after the offensive line very heavily. They've signed now, I do believe, 4 in free agency. They added Spencer Long before free agency started.
Yeah.
They're serious about retooling this offensive line, and they should be.
Yeah, they are.
I'm excited to see where they go with this. They can go best player available in the draft, and that's something that this team tends to do anyway.
Yeah.
And now here's the big thing is that
nobody's
perfect, so there's going to be fans mad if you draft a defensive tackle. But if they do that, most of the fan base is just going to nod their head and go, okay.
It's very
Wilkins from Clemson, the defensive tackle, he's a beast. I like that pick. Oh, Ed Oliver fell to us at number 9. I'm cool.
It's still very likely that the guy they get at 9 will be best player available and will also address a position of need at the same time.
Matter of fact,
as you talk about defensive tackle, which is a position of need for the Bills, they only have really 3.
Matter of fact, Ed Oliver has been mentioned as a pre-draft visit.
Yeah.
So the Bills do believe that he could be there within striking distance at 9.
There's,
and Ed Oliver, heading into last year, was seen as a possible top 5 pick.
Potentially second overall. Behind Nick Bosa, yeah.
He was even seen as a guy that people had to watch on the Heisman list.
Yeah.
Then his power-hungry coach got pissed at him when he wore a coat when he was injured and inactive. Ugh. Which, Major Applewood, I will never forget your name nor your stupid action.
Mm-hmm.
So take that. I know who you are, Major Applewood. But Ed Oliver at pick 9 would be awesome.
That would be fantastic.
You're getting a true disruptor in the interior.
Yeah.
Something the Bills have lacked a little bit. I mean, Kyle Williams could do it, but, you know, he was a rotation, like he was getting into a rotation with his age.
Yep.
And also, people could focus on him. They had to focus on him and Jerry Hughes. That's what offensive lines have had to do against the Bills over the last couple of years. Because no one else is really doing anything production-wise. The Bills now can go in any direction at pick 9, and I am giddy for it.
Really, it's...
They also expect Josh Allen to get better as a passer.
Yeah.
Because Allen is a guy that we know is... Everyone was saying, they got to get some speed at the receiver position. John Brown, oh man, okay, perfect.
Okay, speed.
Cole Beasley.
Oh.
You mean the guy who runs 7-yard crossing routes? And is great at separation? Cole Beasley?
That guy?
Josh Allen's going to miss him by like 5 yards sometimes. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it'll happen.
He's not the most consistent of passers when it comes to throwing to receivers on the fly. But they expect him to get better.
Mm-hmm.
They expect him to clean that up a little bit. That's what that signing tells me. Maybe they don't see a 65% completion percentage guy, but they see you got to do better than what you've done.
You mentioned it earlier when we were on with Dell. You can't. Yeah, it's like you just said. You're not going to expect Allen to be 65%, but his progression is going to make or break the season next year for the Bills.
Not just the season; they're going to make or break.
And potentially
the careers of Allen, Brandon Bean, and Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
A lot of people could get fired for this. The only job I want Josh Allen to have claimed at this point is Ryan Gates. This team really does have a chance, though, to do something. And we haven't even gotten to the draft, and I'm hopeful for them being in a chase for a playoff spot this year.
Do they have to make the playoffs for it to be a success?
No, but there's got to be a very strict stipulation from me. It's got to be this.
9-7 missed the playoffs?
At least.
At least.
Or it's like one of those crazy seasons where 10-6 is your bubble.
Yeah.
And the Bills happen to be 10-6 and they're out.
Yeah.
That's not
like that.
Seen necessarily as a failure. It would hurt.
It hurts, but it's like,
but it's also a good
season.
You
did what you did what you had to.
Yes.
Won 10 games.
Does this mean that we have to return to our old friends of in the hunt? Yes. The Patriots exist. The division title is not up for grabs. Let's be real here.
One of the wild card spots very likely is going to be taken over by a West team.
So you'd have to
have the Chiefs and Chargers.
You'd have to be better than the Chargers, the Texans.
The South is going to be.
I don't believe in Tennessee or Jacksonville. Even with Nick Foles there with the Jaguars. You'd have
right,
to be,
but that's still Houston and Indy.
But you'd have to be, I'm suspecting Indy would win it. Houston would be the wild card team. You'd have to be better than either the Chargers, the Texans,
yep,
the Steelers, the Ravens.
Yeah.
And that's just your first four. The Jets might be a little thorn in your side. You better win those games.
Yep.
That's at least five teams right there, and we're not talking about any surprises. The Broncos are trash. Tennessee is forever meh. But forever meh can get you to 9-7.
Hey, they just got Ryan Tannehill.
They're really banking on Mariota to be hurt, huh?
Or they're just that scared of it.
Exactly. They're prepared for it.
Yeah.
They're like, this time we're not coming in with Blaine Gabbert with a playoff spot on the line.
This time it's going to be Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, right. The Cleveland Browns are a team that you now have to look out
for. Yeah, they're the favorites to win the North.
Which is why I only said the Steelers and the Ravens.
Yeah.
And that's, again, without any surprises. I think Denver's trash.
Oakland's Oakland.
Oakland is Oakland. They might be better this year, but they're going to be Oakland.
You just say you don't believe in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville or Tennessee, I don't really believe in.
Yep. Cincy.
Cincy is, they're going downhill.
And so is Miami.
And Miami is tanking.
Yeah. They signed Fitzmagic, so.
They're tanking.
They're obviously tanking.
They're tanking. They are tanking. Good to see, though, that the cycle of Ryan Fitzpatrick continues to be golden.
Yeah.
Be the backup. Play well as the backup. Get a contract. Be bad. Get released. Sign as a backup. Be the backup. Play games as the backup, play well, get a contract from another team to be the starter, be bad as the starter, get released, sign as a backup, be the backup, starter gets hurt somehow.
Hey, at least this time it's only 2 years. Didn't he sign, what, a 2-year deal?
Still, he gets a contract,
yeah.
So what's next?
Oh, that's good. It's good. Good old Fitzmagic.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, the ultimate journeyman.
Yeah.
At least he earns it.
Yeah, he does.
You know, he plays well as a backup, and he impresses another team, and they go, okay, let's go.
And
the Bills threw
wait.
A bunch of money at him.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting business model, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But it's also very, very like cyclical and consistent, unlike his play.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see the Miami Dolphins with Ryan Tannehill. It's not the first time the Bills will have faced him as an AFC East rival. But as a Dolphin? That's going to feel weird. All right, so what else, Frank, is there to mention about the freaking Sabres at this point?
They won a game.
Congrats. They won a game. Hold the presses.
Yeah.
And who do they play next? We're at the point of the season where I don't know off the top of my head.
I can't, yeah. Give me 1 second.
We made it. Yay. Crap.
They play Wednesday against Toronto.
That's here, though.
That's here.
Oh, boy.
They still got to play Toronto.
So they're playing against
they're playing
on the road against Toronto at Buffalo.
Pretty much. At KeyBank Center.
Yep. I think, though, that there's I'm not going to give them a great chance, but they have a halfway decent chance of finally winning two games in a row.
Yeah.
Because Toronto has turned into a bit of a dumpster fire lately. Kind of like the Sabres.
Hey. Just losing not as six worse.
Straight. Yeah. I mean, the Sabres lost six straight.
Yeah.
Toronto gave up six goals and won a game. Seriously, Philadelphia had Toronto dead to rights.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto comes back to win 7-6.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is.
I mean, I know Philly's used to heartbreak, but that's just ridiculous. And that kind of ended the rest of the chase for them. Because now it's really coming down to Montreal, Columbus,
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh and Columbus are ahead of the pack. I still think that Columbus should have traded Panarin and Bobrovsky, but...
Yeah, Philly's still... It's still hovering for them.
Yeah, but still. They'd have to go on another tear.
Yeah.
But...
It's actually more Montreal, Columbus, and Carolina.
Oh, right, Carolina. I forget.
Pittsburgh's at 88 points right now, and that's locked into third. And the Metro, so, Carolina's at 85.
Carolina and... Carolina and Pittsburgh are fighting for third. / wild card.
Columbus is at 84. Montreal's 3 points back of Columbus at 81. And then Philly is at 78.
So it's really coming down to the Abs and the Blue Jackets, really.
Pretty much. You know, I've been really trying to...
What's up with Toronto, though? Like... They've not been good in this most recent stretch. And their backup goaltender calls the team out saying that they're lacking emotion. That's a showstopper for anyone on a team to say that.
The fact that it's the backup.
The fact that it's the backup goaltender?
Who's played in 17 games this year.
And has not been good throughout.
No.
Is the one saying it, that kind of makes it a little more eye-popping. I mean, does he have a right to say it? Yes. Does Sparks also have to play better to really be able to earn the right to say that? Yes.
That's a definite yes, yeah.
But we saw the Leafs do something that not many teams have done this year. Get humiliated by the Ottawa Senators. And this is post-Stone and Duchesne.
Mm-hmm.
There's whispers in Toronto about firing Babcock, which, as a Sabres fan that was left at the altar by Babcock, I'm feeling perplexed by that very notion. But if the Leafs collapse... And lose handedly in the first round to Boston, well, we might have some real conversations.
See, it's part of that.
That they feel like they can do better.
Well, so I got to bring up a tweet real quick. Give me one.
You bring up the tweet. Now we'll go ahead.
I got it up. Darren Millard put a tweet up. Said, my opinion, the Toronto Maple Leafs aren't having... issues because they are weak or smaller. The players are either one, not listening to the coaches, or two, not grasping what the coaches are telling them, or a combo of both. The more this continues, the more Babcock can say, your way or mine. And this was coming off of that 6-2 loss to Ottawa. He said this on Saturday night. I quoted it, said, because I'm still trying to figure out the Sabres in what this season has been, why it's gone this way. We obviously, there's simple answers too, but I think that what Millard said about Toronto can also be said about the Sabres.
And now here comes the other side of the sword there. if there's a realistic conversation that you could have about Mike Babcock and a playoff team, and the player's not listening, and therefore the coach could be at risk of being fired, why is it so perplexing that the Sabres can't have that same conversation about a coach who has them on a worse pace since November than their last place finish last year?
But that's the question, though, of...
Like I said, it's the other side of the sword.
It's the other side of the sword, but it's still a question of which one is it? Are you blaming the coach for the struggles, or are you blaming the players for not listening to the coach?
It's for me, it's always both. Nobody's perfect here.
Yeah.
There's no one person or entity that you can throw the blame at here.
Yeah, and if you're having the similar talks, and if you're having those talks in Toronto, which... These are still all – it's still all fans doing this. There's no talk of it out of the Leafs organization. There's no talk of it out of Sabres organization about their coaches getting fired and everything. Internally, we don't know, and we're not going to know. But this is all based on reactions out of the fan bases.
Yes.
So you still also have to take that for what you will. And obviously the media too. I mean, the media at least knows – partially what goes on in the locker rooms.
Yes. It's just one of those things, though, where you're looking at it and you think, they're having the conversation in Toronto.
Yeah.
We're having this conversation in Buffalo. Two teams with very different spots in the standings.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not all that damning as a whole if Housley gets fired after his second season. Because it's happening elsewhere in the league.
The only difference with Babcock is obviously this is his fourth year.
And they've been in the playoffs for 3 years?
This would be their third straight year, yeah.
So again, yes, I know, it's the Toronto market. It's always more intense there.
Yeah.
Hockey Mecca.
Not wrong.
It. Not buying it.
They're not wrong.
You're not wrong, but it's the media that over.
Oh yeah.
Perpetrates their holier than thou feeling in Toronto.
Oh yeah.
But they're having that conversation with a playoff team. Therefore, it should not be a damning case on a coach or people that want the coach to remain. I don't know who those people are at this point. It shouldn't be as damning there that these whispers should be coming for Phil Housley.
Yeah. As I said, I still don't think it's the right idea to fire him unless the only way I think he gets fired in the off season is if Botchell talks to him and sees that Housley is not going in the same direction that he is. That's the only way.
Yeah.
If Botchell and Housley have a one-on-one when the season is over and they're still on the same path together, he's not going to fire him.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter about the results. They could just look at...
The results are pretty bad, though.
The results are bad, but once again...
They're terrifying.
That's going to tell... But that would tell me that they think... It's the players more than it's the coach.
Fair.
At least management does. And Batra will convince ownership likewise.
You know what was encouraging, though, or has been encouraging? Alex Nylander kind of looking like the first-round pick he should be.
Yeah, I've really been impressed by him his last couple games. And also the fact that he's still here even after Eichel came back.
That was a good first sign. But yeah. I thought that... The Dallas game was one of his better games.
Yeah, I thought he played really well.
He played really well against Dallas. I thought Tage Thompson played really well against Dallas. And then it was just one of those things, though, where like he remained on the team. I'm like, okay,
yeah.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And Nylander took another step.
Yeah.
Against St. Louis. And I'm just I'm for it here. He's sniffing the glue. The Sabres haven't. The thing is that the Sabres haven't been sniffing the glue.
Yeah,
that's the problem. That's their problem. They haven't been sniffing the glue. 10-game win streak. They were sniffing the glue. Still one of the dumbest slip-ups I've ever had of all time.
Then they stopped.
They stopped sniffing the glue. Yes, I know you get a headache from that. I mean, how would I know that?
But, no, Nylander is starting to stick.
Yes, he is.
He's sticking.
Nice.
And
nice. Yes. Staying on the glue thing.
Yes. That was where I was going at with it.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do it. But, no, he's been looking good, and he's sticking around. The more he sticks around, and if he sticks around to the end of the year and continues to play in a similar role, the more
you might have a guy in your top six for next year that you don't have to replace.
You have a prospect that you're not trading because he's struggling.
Not to mention, you have a guy in your top six who you don't have to go out and get.
At worst in your, or even just at worst in your top nine. Doesn't matter who.
And they need a piece there still.
They need guys. They need guys for that role. Yeah.
If he continues to play well the way that he's been playing with Sherry and Rodriguez.
Yeah.
If they add another piece next year, well, guess
what?
They may
very well.
That might be your third line.
Here's the thing. That piece, obviously we know where that is. Mittelstadt, Thompson, Guy on your left wing. And I think it's still very likely, because it's a winger, it's coming from within in CJ Smith.
Okay.
I would expect it. I want to see Olofsson make the roster too, but I think with him I believe he is 23, and this is only his first year in North America. I'll give him a pass for another year if he stays at Rochester, especially if Nylander wins the spot. So this is the other part that I've been thinking of, and we need to really consider for the kind of moves the Sabres are going to make. I don't think they're going to make as big moves as we hope they do or want them to do, because next year, Seattle.
Yep.
Expansion draft again.
You got different priorities to protect.
The rules are the same, is what it's sounding like. Obviously, Vegas is exempt from it for some reason, whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to go into that. But
their protection list would be pretty easy anyway.
Yeah, I would. But whatever. I believe because the rules are the same as they were when Vegas, in the Vegas expansion draft, Dahlin and Mittelstadt might be exempt.
They will be.
Yeah. Because
they will have not played their third full professional season.
Exactly.
Yet.
That's going to make things a lot easier.
A lot easier, but not as easy as it was to protect Eichel and Reinhardt.
Oh, yeah.
And have less players that you had to worry about protecting.
But then if you go right now and assume Dahlin and Mittelstadt are exempt, and even put in Pilot in the mix. I don't know about Pilot because obviously he's older. But let's say Pilot is exempt at the same time. Based on the roster right now, you're protecting Jeff Skinner, Jack Eichel, Reinhardt, Sherry, Rodriguez.
You're going to protect any defensemen there, bud? Brandon Montour?
Well, 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie. That would probably be the route.
I'm thinking about the 8 skaters thing.
No, you're probably going 7-3-1. So obviously, Olmark's the goalie you're protecting. Your 3 defensemen are Montour, Ristolainen, and McCabe.
If they decide on McCabe instead of Bogosian, yeah.
I would imagine. Well, Bogosian is a free agent next year.
That's true.
Remember, Bogosian, Scandella, Hunwick, and Saboka are all free agents next year. They're done. They're gone. Their contracts are up. So you don't have to worry about any of them. But you have those 5 as well, and then 2 more. Probably Tage Thompson.
You're probably exposing Kyle Poso.
You probably do. There's obviously other variations because CJ Smith's there. I don't know what's going to be up with Nylander.
I think because Nylander's played professional hockey, he might hit the game threshold.
We'll have to see. It really all depends on next year.
Especially if he sticks next year.
Yeah, it all really depends on next year.
If he sticks next year, he's one of the must-protects.
Yeah. So
also because he's finally stuck on the roster.
Yeah. So but what you're looking at is they're probably going to lose Casey Nelson in the expansion draft, or if they Seattle decides to take Carter Hutton.
I would try to bribe them to take a Poso's contract. I would try to pay a pick for it.
I think you will, but it all depend on if Seattle wants to do it. Or it's going to be...
Well, Seattle saw what Vegas did. Why not do the same thing?
What I'm saying is, are the Sabres willing to give up a first-round pick?
The question would be, what's their draft capital and arsenal going to look like at that point, and
exactly.
What's the team going to look like?
Exactly.
If, for example, they end up with another first-round pick, you easily give one of them up.
You could. Although the way... I don't think that's going to happen...
Again, I'm just stating things.
Right, yeah.
But say they become buyers at the deadline next year. Oh, that'd be nice. Then you're looking at a different story.
Yeah.
And then absolutely they're
not
going
to. But my whole thing is you got to.
But some players get taken that have high cap hits just so the team can hit, the expansion team could hit the cap floor. That happens.
It will.
So.
It will.
We'll see what happens.
There. It will.
Unfortunately, the Buffalo Buttes couldn't win another championship. That would have been nice. They lost 2-1 in overtime. That hurt. Puck goes in off of the stick of a Buttes defender after a face-off, and, well, that's just a pretty Buffalo way, unfortunately, to lose a championship. Welcome to the crowd, Buttes. Welcome to the pain index. That's what happens when you're a professional team in Buffalo. You become like the rest of us and get hurt in ways that are not your fault. But they end up off of you anyway.
They still won a championship.
They've still won a championship. They've been to 4 Isabel Cup championships. Come on, close it, damn it. But no, they had a great season as well. And to be able to storm back after canning your head coaches.
Cody McCormick did
a great job, actually, putting this team back and rebounding. To help the girls get back to the Isabel Cup Championship. Like, that's not easy to do. Even with a 5-team league, it's not easy. You had fired your coaching staff, and you brought in Cody McCormick, and, you know, there's, you know, some teams could give up on those sorts of things. And the Buttes didn't. So good job for them to have made it to the championship, to bring it to overtime. Unfortunately, they couldn't win it.
Yeah.
But they had a good season. And they're fun to watch. UB Bulls, let's see what happens here. March Madness is about to begin. It starts Thursday. Like, the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Round of 64.
Yes.
Starts Thursday.
The actual madness.
The real madness begins. I mean, it's not like those first four play-in games don't bring drama.
No, but the madness.
The round of 64 begins Thursday.
When you've got
we will pick
5
our
different TV stations playing basketball all day.
We will do brackets. And we'll try to drag another member of WGR in here with us to do so.
When I was in high school, I think it was around the 2010 or 2011 year with March Madness. One of my classes literally went into a room where we could watch March Madness during the class.
I'm jealous.
Watch the morning games.
What do you have expectation-wise for these teams? For UB?
Well, we have to see where the women's are because their selection... They're going to find out where they are in the bracket today.
Right. I feel like for the women, the round of 32 is a success.
Yes.
Win a game. If you get out of the weekend, fantastic. You've matched your pace from last year.
Yeah.
To get to the Sweet 16.
It would also depend where they are. Obviously, they were a 4 seed in the MAC, so I don't know how high of a seed they're going to get. But being back-to-back MAC champions and being in the Sweet 16 last year... Should give them a resume where
maybe they'll end up with like an 8
at highest. Because where were they last year? At like an 11 or a 12?
Really?
No, last year.
I don't remember.
I don't remember where they were last year. That's one. That's one. But I could see them being 8 at the highest, maybe at the lowest, 10 or 11.
Okay.
But remember, it's all that's also based on this year, too.
But then again, we also thought the men's team would get a 5.
And they got a 6. For the men's team, win the first game.
For me, I think I need them to get to the Sweet 16. I've seen how good this team is at this point that I'm convinced.
Matchup, but the matchup would still depend on that, too, because if they win, they're more likely to face the 3 seed, who is Texas Tech, and they're good. But if they can't get out of that, you're talking like then.
I feel like they can, though, because
you feel like they feel like they can
because last year they show up with Arizona. Really well. Yeah, they show up against Arizona and they knock the snot out of them.
Yeah,
and then they go up and you just mentioned they show up against Kentucky and make it a game. And doing that against Kentucky as a mid-major is not easy. And now all those players, they lost one player from that team, Wes Clark, to graduation. Those guys are all seniors here, the core. They've got 2 guys that are legitimate candidates to be NBA draft picks in C.J. Massenburg and Jeremy Harris. I want to see them make the Sweet 16. Get out of the weekend. That's my expectation for them. Would it be a bit of a bust? Yeah, I would say so. I'd say it's a bit of a bust if they don't make it out of the first weekend, out of the round of 32. Because upsets happen. Why not the Bulls?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that they're talented enough that they can do it. It's just going to be a matter of, are your shots from beyond the arc going to fall?
Yeah.
They are a team that they live by the 3, they die by the 3.
Like I said, though, assuming they play Texas Tech, it's going to be a still very tough matchup. They're a 3 seed for a reason.
They're a 3 seed for a reason, but I think they're the Bulls should get their due rights.
I think Texas Tech was in the top 10 this year too in rankings.
So not the easiest draw, but
at the same time too, they are in.
I'm feeling kind of good about the fact that they got the 6 seed based on the matchup that Marquette got.
Yeah.
In the West, it's Marquette versus Murray State.
Yeah.
A team that a lot of people are saying they could do something. So we'll see what happens.
And then Florida State plays Vermont. That's the 4-13 in the West. And
the bad news is that once you get through that, like say you beat Texas Tech, your likely opponent, probably Michigan.
Yeah, but a lot of people are saying that Michigan's not as strong.
Are you saying they're a phony 2 seed?
They're probably in the phony region because Gonzaga's looked at as the weakest 1 seed. Because a lot of the committee thought that because Gonzaga was a 1 seed, they wanted Michigan State in the Gonzaga's region as a 2 seed because Michigan State's looked at as the strongest 2nd seed. But Michigan State is in.
They're in the East.
They're in the East with Duke, who's the number 1 overall seed in the tournament.
Well, someone's got to stop them. Why not the strongest 2 seed?
Yeah. So.
Oh, Virginia made a 1 seed again. Think they get upset by a 16?
Gardner Webb, maybe. We'll see. But
I think that there's a chance, though, that
there is a chance. Buffalo is in the region where they could make a run. But
Texas Tech is what you're saying is probably the biggest obstacle in their way. From what you're saying. You're saying get by Texas Tech and
if you can get by if you could get by Texas Tech into the Sweet 16, the sky's the limit for the
Bulls. Kind of like last year, if you could get by Kentucky, UMBC happened.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I'm like, okay, they beat Arizona. Holy crap, Virginia just dookied all over the floor. Beat Kentucky. This could be magical. They didn't.
Michigan,
but they made a game out of it.
Michigan could be a winnable game if they play Michigan, because Michigan beats Montana, Nevada, and assuming Nevada beats Florida, Nevada could beat Michigan.
I think Florida could beat Michigan. Florida's pretty good.
Yeah. And not, it's nothing against Michigan. It's just they don't seem like as strong as they were like last year, 2 years ago. And then Gonzaga would have to face the winner of Syracuse and Baylor. And I would pick Syracuse to win that game.
But Syracuse is weaker than their usual years.
But they still play you tough.
Yeah.
They're going to play you really tough because Boeheim's a great coach.
I mean, I didn't see UB have problems with them this year, but
Syracuse also gave Duke a run.
They did. That's right. So on one hand... On one hand, UB didn't have too many problems with Syracuse. On the other, Duke did have problems with Syracuse.
Yeah.
Therefore, by transitive property, UB should handle Duke.
Yes.
That's my logic, and I'm sticking to it. And I'm ending it there.
Okay.
The women, we find out what seed they get today, and we'll see what happens there. I mean... The Sabres, they play against Toronto on the road at KeyBank Center. Yes, I said it like that because it's probably going to be 75% Leaf fans. Which, well, I guess that's just going to happen. Welcome to this season's end. The Bills, we'll see where they go draft-wise. That's still a whiles away. So maybe they sign another free agent or do something else. Like, you know, steal the headlines again. I doubt that they do that, but they could still add some players. They could still do what they want in that regard as well. Thanks for listening to Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcari.
And we'll be back on Thursday to pick our brackets, see who does better and can laugh at the other. And we'll go from there. Enjoy your March Madness as it begins on Thursday. If you want to take in the Sabres game on Wednesday, well, you're a brave soul. I commend you and enjoy that as well. Other than that, well, we'll see you next time. Peace out.